So my name is Julie Klaus. I'm privileged to serve on staff here at Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm so happy you've joined me in worship today. We're continuing our Lent series today. The Renegade Gospel is the book we're reading. This week we're talking about seeing Jesus today. Last week we asked the question, who is Jesus? If we believe Jesus is the resurrected Christ, the Son of God, are we encountering him in our daily lives? If we're not, then why aren't we? Are we looking in the wrong place? Do we believe he's here? Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, 'Father, save me from this hour?' But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, "I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again." When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd responded, "We understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway?" Jesus replied, "My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light." After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Will you pray with me? We pray for revelation, Father, that you speak to us and we hear, that we see the world around us with your eyes. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. In our reading today, a couple of Greek guys show up for Passover and tell Philip they want to meet Jesus. Isn't that what we all want? This was over 2,000 years ago. They wanted to meet Jesus in the flesh. Is it still possible for us to meet Jesus today? Are we truly looking for him? What's our expectation? Do we expect to see Jesus? Scripture tells us We will find Jesus only if we are looking for him. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Our expectation should be to have an encounter with Jesus every day. The verbs in that scripture are all present tense. Are we watching for that? Are we watching for Jesus in our daily lives? Are we actually asking, seeking, and knocking to see Jesus each day? So maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but over the past 50 years, 3.9 billion copies of the Bible have been sold. It's the best-selling book of all time. The Bible helps us to know who God is and what's important to him, how to live our lives. It tells us all about Jesus and what he did for us. It has provided direction for me as well as for countless others, given incredible comfort and peace in times of distress. However, if we're only looking in the Bible to find Jesus, we're missing out. John 14, 15 through 17 says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. If we have made Jesus our personal Lord and Savior, God's Holy Spirit is Jesus living in us. The Holy Spirit prompts us, guides us, leads us. All we need do is ask, seek, and knock. Do you remember the parable of the talents from the 25th chapter of Matthew? The master gives three servants different amounts of money, talents. The two that invested are praised. The one who buried his treasure suffers the wrath of the master. What are the gifts that you've been given? Are you using them to further God's kingdom, to be an actual follower of Christ, or are you hoarding your God-given gifts, burying them in the ground like the third servant? And I'm talking about way more than money here. Do you know what a BHAG is? I first heard this term on one of our trips out to Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City. Mike Slaughter refers to it in the fourth chapter of his book. BHAG stands for Big, Hairy, Audacious God Purpose, or goal. Like it or not, we all have one. It's God's call or purpose for our life. Have you ever heard God speak to you? Maybe not the audible voice of God, but when something occurs to you and there's no doubt it came from God. That happened to me for the very first time in this building a long time ago. You see, I'd been attending church here, bringing my kids to Sunday school, volunteering in the nursery. But when God spoke to me that night, it was truly a life-changing event. I didn't know it at that moment, not the full scope of what it meant, but that was the beginning of my life being turned upside down. No longer comfortable, no longer complacent. I remember the first time I was invited to share my story with the congregation, I truly thought I was going to throw up. Even now, when I fill in for Pastor Chris, like today, I feel wholly inadequate. I get very nervous. I look out and I see so many mature Christians. But that's what God does. When we open ourselves up to Jesus, he totally disrupts our life. We find ourselves doing and experiencing things we never thought we would or could. I never in a million years thought I would be doing this for a living. It's completely different from the plan I had for my life, but God's plan is so much better. We think we know what's best for us, but truly, we rarely do. Each one of us needs to find out what our BHAG is. Ask God to show you. It may be, and most likely will be, scary and uncomfortable, but that's where we truly meet Jesus. In Mike Slaughter's book, Renegade Gospel, chapter 4, page 84, Mike writes, "The Christian century put it this way. In order to be politically or culturally acceptable, we've often stripped Christianity of Jesus or transformed him into a character he is not. We've made Jesus wimpy rather than revolutionary, tolerant rather than loving, good rather than God. Jesus understood his own big, hairy, audacious God purpose. The night of his arrest, before being crucified, he prayed, 'Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?' Jesus then answered his own question, 'No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour.' Jesus had to die to self, to both self-comfort and self-safety, and so do we. As we die to self, our lives become fertilizer to feed the seeds of kingdom growth. We experience Jesus as we expectantly seek to find Jesus and as we follow through on that to which Jesus has called us." That paragraph hit me where I live. Why do we think we deserve an easy life? We are called to sacrifice, to submit to God just as Christ did. Jesus died on the cross for you, and he died on the cross for me. He took our punishment. That's such good news. In the busyness of life, we often think we can't be bothered with the things that disrupt our life. We make excuses. We have so much to do, right? We're way too busy. I have been there. If we're letting busyness take over, if our only encounter with God is on Sunday morning, we are missing out. We have the opportunity to see Jesus in our everyday lives. Our scripture today talks about a grain of wheat. If it dies, it bears much fruit. That's just the nature of seeds. We are each a grain of wheat. Are we willing to die to self? To put God's plans before our own? To be uncomfortable, bothered, have our lives disrupted, interrupted, to bear fruit? We are all called to do this. As followers of Christ, this is not only meant for clergy and people who work at a church. We are all the body of Christ. Resurrection United Methodist Church is not just a building at 615 West 15th Street in Hastings. The building is not the church. This is where the church meets. We are the church. Are we responding to the promptings of God's Holy Spirit? What's our expectation? What are we looking for? Do we see people as Jesus sees them, or are they blurred, blending in with the background, unnoticed? There's an artist by the name of Andy Grammer. He wrote a song called Fresh Eyes. It's a secular song. And I didn't realize what it was about until I actually saw the video. This is somebody who's definitely using their BHAG to do kingdom work. Will you give your attention to the screen?
I got these fresh eyes. Never seen you before like this. My God, you're beautiful. It's like the first time when we opened the door for we got used to usual. It might seem superficial, stereotypical, man. You dress up just a little. If I could bottle this up, bottle this up, I would bottle this up.
Question for you. Have you ever heard of mom eyes? Maybe some of the moms in here know what I'm talking about. It's the way our kids and sometimes our spouses can look and look for something. Tell you, it's not there. The mom walks into the room and immediately spots the item. This just happened to me the other day. My daughter called and asked me if we had any nonstick cooking spray, of all things. I knew we did, and walked her through the different places where it might be in my kitchen. She looked, and she looked, and she assured me we didn't have any. So when I got home, I walked in the kitchen, and there was the spray on the counter. So I said, "Oh, good, you found the spray after all." She said, No, I never found the spray. I said, "Come here. Look at that." She goes over there. She looks at it. It had been sitting in plain sight the entire time, but she didn't recognize it. She was looking for Pam. Cooking spray, yellow can, red cap. I had the Cub brand, red can, black cap. She was looking for the wrong thing. Are we failing to see Jesus in our daily lives because we're looking for the wrong thing? We each have a different perception of Jesus, right or wrong. It's influenced by our upbringing, our parents, our schooling, our interactions in a secular world. In high school, I was told I needed glasses. I really didn't believe it. I felt like I could see just fine, but we ordered them and they got there and put the glasses on. I was amazed. I can still remember the ride home. The trees, the lawns, the houses, the people. It was just amazing. Things I had seen countless times now looked very, very different. Similarly, when I began to actually seek Jesus, when I started listening for and hearing God's voice and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, things began to be revealed to me. Everything began to look different. That was as though my eyes were opened for the very first time. So, just a question out there. It's daylight savings today. Anybody else feeling a little drowsy out there? Oh, come on. I know I am very tired. There is definitely a nap in my future this afternoon. Sleepiness has become a bit of an epidemic in our world. In the book, Mike Slaughter talks about our spiritual life, spiritual sleepiness. You know, when we're born again, if you have that kind of experience, or when we first encounter the risen Christ, we are on fire. I remember that feeling, thinking to myself, "Oh man, I got to get my hands on a Bible. What else do I think I know that I actually don't know?" It's like finding a cure for a serious disease, and you just want to go up to the rooftops and shout how amazing this Jesus is and what he's done for us. Yeah, you got it. Over time, however, that fire is really no longer a roaring blaze. Things tend to plateau. Maybe we attend worship services, maybe we don't. We might read a couple verses from the Bible or a devotional, but we're really just going through the motions, telling ourselves we've done our due diligence as we go about our day, our week, our month. We tell ourselves we're far too busy to serve or volunteer. We become complacent, lukewarm, uncommitted. In the 22nd chapter in the Gospel of Luke, verse 40, Jesus goes to pray on the Mount of Olives. In verse 45, we find out that his disciples have fallen asleep. Have we fallen asleep? Are we no longer hearing our Father's voice? Michael Jr. is a Christian comedian. We actually played one of his videos at the Volunteer Appreciation last year. He has something to say about hearing the Father's voice. Give your attention to the screen.
So not too long ago, me and my wife, we were looking at some video footage of our youngest daughter, she's 5 now, being born. And I had never seen this footage from this perspective before, like ever. I took the video myself, but I hadn't looked at it and absorbed it in this way. So what I'm about to show you, it's a clip. She's probably 2 minutes old at this point. She's crying, she's on the table, the nurse is about to take care of her. And I want you to pay attention to what happens when she hears my voice.
Okay, Portland, look, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay. I'm right here, I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. It's okay, I'm right here. Right here, yeah, it's okay.
So, when I saw that, I was overwhelmed with how awesome that is. So it's a few minutes later. The nurses cleaned her up a little bit, and she stopped crying. But then about 3 minutes or so into that, she starts crying more. And then I speak up, and she stops crying again. What I want you to notice, how she responds when I tell her I love her.
Portland, it's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm right here. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay.
So there's going to be times when you're trying to figure out what your what is and what your why is. There's going to be times where things are not comfortable, even to the point of tears. The key thing to do in those moments is to just be still and listen for the Father's voice, because he is talking to you. And what he wants you to know is that he loves you. All you have to do is open your eyes.
Make no mistake. We cannot do this without God. If we want to see Jesus today in the here and now, we need to listen for the Father's voice. We need to be in prayer, seeking, asking, knocking, that God will open our eyes and our ears to what he has for us. We need to wake up, church. We're all called to use our unique, God-given gifts, our big, hairy, audacious God purpose. God has called each one of us to something. Ask to meet Jesus today. Experience our risen Lord. He is alive and well, and his Holy Spirit lives in you. I'm going to close today with the same prayer used for this week's study in the book. It's from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 17 through 19. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. Amen.